Hallelujah. Well, praise you, Jesus, and thank you, Holy Ghost. Direct us, lead us, guide us into truth. And your word is truth, we know. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Well, we are getting ready for a lot of action, a lot of things taking place. I can't wait. Towards the end of this service, we will once again have an altar call for the lost. So there's probably not any in here, Pastor. I don't know that, but I do know this, that there's a lot out there watching and will be in the days ahead. The power of the gospel is the salvation message, and it is accompanied by signs and wonders and miracles. If you go after signs and wonders and miracles and don't preach the redemptive message, he's not going to come and show up. He's not going to come and show up. But he has obligated himself that if you teach and preach the redemptive message and harvesting of souls, the Holy Spirit will show up with signs and wonders and miracles. Hallelujah. It is the dinner bell to the lost. It's the dinner bell to the lost. Somebody lovingly, and they may hear this, this is okay, but they tried to lovingly correct me by quoting Kenneth Hagin's phrase or verbiage when he said, it is the dinner bell, signs and wonders are the dinner bell to the world. And I understood what they were trying to say, but they said, you make too light of it to say it's a dinner bell. The same one that said it was that your sins are forgiven is the same one who brings the, in essence, I don't know how to use this, the children's bread. It's a precious thing for you to say it's a dinner bell, but it's amazing how we interpret. And all of us are guilty of this. We interpret truth in the light of standing on this side of salvation and who we are in Christ. Well, of course, it's our children's bread. It's not a dinner bell to us. It's just the covenant that we have. It's just the truth that we live in. But make no mistake about it. The world then, in his ministry, and now, will come, not because they're seeking salvation, not because they're wanting their sins washed away. When they hear the gospel message, you'll have some, like the woman who came with the oil to anoint him, who wanted her sins washed away with the preface of that consciousness, I want to change. But the majority of those who came to him in the Crusades were hurting, destroyed. They didn't have much of a thought about this guy. John preached redemption or washing away of sins. Sure he did. I understand that. But the majority, even the men that lowered him down, born of four, they didn't think, oh, I got to get him down in there to get his sins washed away. They just said, this man is a paralytic. He cannot walk. There's healing in the house. I don't care. The majority will come for, it's not, I want to say selfish purposes. It's not selfish purposes. It's just something that will attract them. And then once they get inside of Christ, they'll realize, wait a minute, this is the most precious. This is unto me my daily bread. I can eat the bread of healing and miracles anytime. But I'll ring the dinner bell for all those who will come running with their selfishness, with their lack of understanding. They're on the outside of the covenant. They're on the outside of regeneration. They have no understanding. Hallelujah. But we have an understanding. I've got one objective here. It's to keep Renee awake. That's all I. If I can keep Renee awake, I've preached a pretty good message, or I've yelled loud enough. Not that he disdains my ministry or preaching. It's just that he got off at 7:15 or something. He said, "When I get to the house, I do not even sit down or relax at all, because if I do, I am gone. I'm gone. So how, I don't know if any of the rest of you, any of you got off this morning at 7 or 6 or 5. Hallelujah. Thank you for not making an excuse not to come. He said, I might have to leave early. Now I put him on the spot. Every eye will look upon you, brother. Every eye. I've bragged on you now, brother. Now I have manipulated you to stay in the building. No matter how tired you get. Jasmine, just reach over there and pinch him real good. Jasmine, please stand up. Turn around. Is that something happened to this young lady. She's different than she was when she came here. Hallelujah. She's beautiful. We appreciate. This morning, we're going to share from the Word of God this particular title. The subject will follow, but maturing spiritual fruit for the fruit of the earth. Maturing spiritual fruit for the fruit of the earth. We've already prayed. So now I want you to turn to James chapter 5. And I am not teaching on James. This is not even trying to weave this into the context, but it will be in context to the message. It won't disannul what James is saying in that brief two verses. But go to James chapter 5, verse 7. And again, I am not trying to teach on James. That's not the subject matter this morning. Subject matter is spiritual fruit and the development of it for the harvest. You know, everything right now that God's saying to us is harvest, 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 and getting ready for it. I cannot tell you how much I am convinced of the Holy Spirit. Are you jazzing yourself up? No, I'm praying. And in that prayer closet, he keeps coming to me and telling me, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. So I was talking to the boys. I call them boys. They're grown men now, both with young children, and that's Harry and Robert. And I was talking to them about where we're going, what's happening, and what we're to expect, and how we're to prepare for it. And I am not trying to hype you. I'm not trying to encourage you. I'm not even trying to get you on the stick with us. I'm just telling you, I'm just a reporter right now. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to that my enthusiasm ignites something inside of you. That's not my objective. I'm just a reporter. I hope it does. I hope the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and tells you, those of you that are watching, some of you are going to move here. Some of you are just going to stay where you're at and be part of this forever. A dear lady wrote me this past week. She's supported the ministry and prayer and finances for the last few years. She goes, I said those confessions, the confessions that you had us say a couple of weeks ago on the We Callings. And she said, I have tried because I don't have a place to go, and I love to be with the people of God. And I've tried to search for places, and then I've also tried to listen to a lot of people online just to get more and more of God. She goes, I've come to the place where it just seems, I don't know what her words were, I'd have to go back, but she said it just to listen to a multitude of people online and different ministers that are out there, she said, I wasn't getting anything, and it was getting worse. And she goes, it has been so good just to stick with the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee and just listen to what you guys are doing. And just, to, she goes, so I have now decided this is my church, and you guys, I'm just going to stick with you guys. And I said, that is so wonderful. And I said, I encourage you, if you listen to other places, Jim and Gary, and that's fine. But I said, you are officially adopted. You are an official member. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, hallelujah. James 5, verse 7, James said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, and we know from John chapter 15, that the husbandman of this vineyard is the Father. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now here he said that the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. We're going to find out here in just a little bit about that word fruit. That word fruit is interpreted the same word every time in the New Testament. As far as I could find, there's 68 references to it, I believe. 67 or 68, it's in 58 different verses. But the word always means the same thing. It means fruit, literally or figuratively. And because you can't interchange the Greek definition in any way, you have to go contextually to find out and look to see what it is setting, it's setting in to find out what it's talking about as far as fruit. Well, here, this is talking about, James is talking about the harvest of the fruit of the earth. Guess what the fruit of the earth is? It's man. It's men. It's all of those that are going to come in this great outpouring. We're going to get our portion. You're going to get your portion if you're obedient. You're going to get your portion if you're following. You're going to get your portion of the souls that are going to be, you know, he's going to give as much as he possibly can, and we're going to get ours. We're going to get ours. The fringes, there are going to be a lot of churches that are not in the depth of this, that are in this region. Glory be to God, we can't handle everybody. I want to be as equipped as possible, because he's only going to give you as much as he possibly can for your foundation. He won't let our foundation, in the book of Acts, it says that there was added to the church daily such as should be saved, a few chapters over, one or two chapters over, it says, and then there was multiplied the disciples. They begin to multiply. In other words, addition will go into multiplication if you have the foundation for it. Glory be to God. Quantum, I want quantum leaps at some point. We're in our foundation years. We're still in our foundation years. But there's going to become a time where this tree is going to grow into something that is beyond what we can even see right now, because we're not after an edifice or a building or a place or a property or something or a name, or so we can get, you know, your pastor can be well known, or you can be well known, or somebody can say, well, I saw you on this or the TV, or I saw. No, we're after the harvest of the planet. We're after the harvest of the earth. With that is going to come incredible miracles. With that is going to come incredible things that we are in a part of our life right now that we are learning and being taught daily by the Holy Spirit what that really means. The Amplified says concerning the verses, you'll have to just listen, in James 5, 7 and 8, it says, So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer, that's the husbandman or vine dresser when Jesus talked about the vineyard, see how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest of the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and the latter rain. So you also must be patient, establish your hearts, strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near. Amen. I said to you, and this is very important, especially for where we're going, that the word fruit is the word. I did not tell you the pronunciation, but it's carpus and or carpos, and however you want to say it, either way, I guess. But it is same word. I couldn't find any other word. If you find it, that's fine. It still won't contradict anything I'm saying this morning. I think there's 67, 68 verses. It's always carpus, and it's C-A-R-P-O-S. But it's used over 60 times and in the New Testament, and each time it's the same word. So you can't, again, I say all that to say this, it's by context that you read and understand, because there are multiple ways in which the word fruit is used in the New Testament, but we're just kind of isolating a couple of those ways this morning, and the two predominant ways. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 16. For many of you, you understand where we're going on this portion of fruit. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church? Are you glad Renee's in church? Are you going to keep watching Renee? No, keep your eyes on me.
But if he stands up, say, sit down. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. That's not the Holy Ghost. It's the born-again Spirit that you have been baptized into as far as your salvation, Romans chapter 6. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and that's not a war of the Holy Spirit and your flesh. That's your spirit and your flesh. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Well, we know how to overcome and do the things that we God speaks to us in the leadership of the Spirit, but he's talking about a war there that takes place on a continual basis. I've said before, and you've heard me say it again, and obviously I'm teasing. Don't write me any letters. I know we get a glorified body when we get to heaven. All sin is, you could not make yourself sin, but how long should we distrust the flesh? And I always say about 30 minutes after you're in heaven, you can finally go, whew, okay, don't ever trust the flesh to be all right on its own. Pastor Dave used to tell me, Bronk, he said, you understand this. And he wasn't talking about that it would happen just immediately, but he was talking about a gradual change. He said, understand this, it doesn't matter how far you go in God, you can always fall. It doesn't matter, you've never come to a place, and Paul said the same thing. He said, in Corinthians 9, verse 27, he said, I keep under my body, and I buffet. In other words, keep under my body, lest having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. There's no point in a preacher's life or a Christian's life where they ever come to say, hey, I've arrived. I'm going to set back on my haunches. I'm going to, I'm not going to pray as much. It's amazing. You can fast and pray and have an incredible worship life and love God and just be walking in the Spirit. And really, if there's a temptation that comes or anger, fear, or lust or anything, it's just like, that's not even, it doesn't shake your emotions or anything. It's just like you just walk on past it. You go 3, 4, 5, 6 days without praying. Just, abbreviated, hi, Jesus. Good night, Jesus. You still don't have to sin. You still don't have to, even if you're not praying. But oh my goodness, the war steps up. Now what you didn't feel, you feel. Why? Because the power of the new nature is always there, but it's there to be built up in a continual place of fellowship and relationship. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said in verse 19, of the works of the flesh are these, are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Envy, drunkenness, he said, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of the such like, so there's more, of the which I tell you before, and as I've told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's a message that we've preached before, and that's not the message this morning. But he goes on to say this, but the fruit of what? The fruit, the karpos, the fruit of the born again spirit, not the fruit of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does not have fruit. You have fruit. Your born again spirit is endowed with at conception. 2 Corinthians 5:17, when you become a new creature and old things passed away, something simultaneously happens. It's amazing. A death and a life takes place. You pass away, the old man passes away. There's an instantaneous death and there's an instantaneous life. How he does that, my God, I'll never know, except that I believe it happens and I know it happens. But the fruit, what happens is when you are born again innately, in other words, as I would say it like this, you are programmed. Your spiritual DNA is programmed with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, he says here, is love, joy. In other words, if you're born again, watching me or in here, this is what's in your spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And then he says, and they that are crucified have crucified the flesh with the affections, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let's not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Word fruit there, as again, is the word karpos. And again, it's just same meaning, literally or figuratively, fruit. But he said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. I want to just say something about that real quick. You're going to find out, even with what Jesus said in John chapter 15, that the development of the fruit of God that's in your spirit is also simultaneously connected with a crucifixion of the flesh. In other words, the more, that's 2 Corinthians 4:7 and following, that the more you die, the more that you live, and the more that you crucify, the more Christ comes forward. What's Christ in us? You say, what's Christ in me? It's the hope of glory. I understand that. It's the mystery of all the ages. It's Christ in me. But what does Christ look like? Christ looks like all these fruit that I just read. Christ looks like these fruit. And it's the carpus. It's the carpos. It's the fruit in us that looks like Christ. It's all those things that are to be developed and to be brought forth in us. But for those things to be going on or being brought forth, there's also a simultaneously, in many of scriptures, you'll find when he talks about the life of Christ or the development of the character of Christ and coming forward, you'll also find him tagging or the apostles tagging on the understanding that there has to be a systematic crucifixion of the flesh. There has to be a continual dying of the flesh. Through the Spirit, born again Spirit, we establish that. Carpus. Or fruit. Well, let's talk about the fruit just for a moment. Love. Okay. This is not the, ooh, I feel so good. I just love you. This is not the tingly love. This is the absolute love of God, the strength. This is that room that Pastor Dave used to talk about. This is the room where all things are possible. He said the end of all this, as far as he could tell us, as far as Dave had developed to wherever Dave was before, you know, Dave had his challenges, is that he entered a room where all things were possible. But he said that room was a room of agape. He said that room was an absolute room. It had no chance of failure because it was an absolute room of agape. So this place of love is a place where the love of God, this fruit that is in you, it's a place where the love of God develops out of that fruit. It's not sovereignly. It doesn't sovereignly come. It's there from the get-go. It starts in you, but it continues to mature. This is where it's so important. See, the revival takes place like this. The revival's two aspects or twofold. I don't know the right word to use. But the revival is atmosphere and its presence. It's Joel's army. It's going to be spread out. But make no mistake about it. It's not spread out like widgets. Like, hey, it dropped on all of us. Some of us didn't really want it. Some of us weren't fighting for it, but it just came and it was an atmosphere. Now, it will encourage those that are lackadaisical to come into places like, hey, I want what they've got now. It'll encourage. But if you think an army is being raised up of people that don't pray and of people that don't want it and of people like, you know, widgets, like, I'll take one if you want to give it out. Hey, I'll take five if it's free, if it just drops on me. No, this is coming twofold. It's coming for those that are growing in a place of intimacy, developing spiritual fruit, coming into that place. An army is raising up. It's Mary Wallpaper and Joe Public. It is all of you. It's all of me. It's all of everybody that wants it. But it doesn't just drop out of heaven like, you know what, I really didn't care one way or the other, you know, but I'll take some of it if you want to hand it out, God. That's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. It'll always be from now to the end of the time, no matter how great the revival, it'll be for those that are wanting, fighting for it, expecting, and going into. You'll never bypass spiritual growth. You can't go around it. You'll never bypass growing up. You'll never bypass maturing. The revival won't just mature you. The revival will accentuate with presence. So it's twofold. A presence comes like it did in the book of Acts. There were things happening then that have not been happening for the last 2,000 years, but come on, let's get excited, because he said things are going to happen that are going to supersede the book of Acts, and I believe that. But as it was then, there was an atmosphere, but they were still praying, and they were still seeking God. So it's twofold. We've got to continue to develop spiritual fruit. And as I said, Dave said that what he saw in that room where all things were possible and nothing was impossible was it was a room of love. And how did he get there? Well, he got there by excessive hours and excessive times of worship. Now, here's the piggyback, and here's what's so wonderful. If you want this and you're moving in, you won't have to pay the price of the foundation class, as in, you know, if it took so many hours and so many months, and we're breaking a membrane, we're breaking a barrier here. This thing hasn't been done in the last 2,000 years. We're punching a ceiling that is on the other side of it is atmosphere. And so in that sense, the word atmosphere will bring accentuation to, like, okay, man, I'm starting kind of late. Dave did all these hours in worship. No, listen, if you do it, you're going to find out, like, you're going to be, if you do it, then you're going to be shot out of a cannon. Presence will come. If you're obedient to what time you get up, you get your 1 hour of prayer, maybe that's all you can spend, but you're faithful to that. You go off to work. You're not going to, you say, well, I think he did 6-8 hours. No. You're going to be part of Joel's army, and the same presence is going to come on you. But you're not going to be able to live your life and say, oh, I just really don't care, but it's pretty cool what they're after. But if you want to give me some, I'll get, no. If you're not engaged, you won't receive. You won't be developing. But this room of agape is much more than, you know, I love you, you love me, we are a great big family with a, joy. These are sustaining places of revival. This is joy in the midst of being imprisoned. You'll have that kind of joy. This is joy with everything but the kitchen sink being thrown at you. I hope you can all bypass getting anything thrown at you. But this joy is sustainable joy. It is the joy with kitchen sinks flying past your head, houses flying past your head, things coming at you, and you're saying, I have the joy of the Lord, because it is a joy that is on the inside of me, that has been given to me, that I have developed and matured in and come forward in. As I read all these things, let me just progress for just a moment to my notes and just say something, and then I'll back up to every single one of these. But none of these fruits are full fruits or mature fruits at salvation. None of them come fully mature. None of them become fully mature. You won't notice, and I have it in my notes here, but I'm going to jump ahead. You won't notice it listing a fruit of righteousness and true holiness, because it's not a fruit. Nor does it need to be matured, righteousness. Now, you may live out the rest of your life in maturity, living out the holiness of the righteousness inside of you. But you better understand something. Don't let anybody. If I ever leave this planet, you stand up, you get green-eyed, square your jaw, and tell them that's not the truth. Don't you ever let anybody say that these fruits or something that are fully developed, and let them take away the truth from you, that there is a process of maturing, that every single one of these, whether it be love or faith or patience or meekness or gentleness or goodness or temperance or any of these things, they are in the process of growing and maturing always on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Reminds me, as I'm saying that, of what Paul said in Colossians. Don't let any man rob you voluntarily in your reward, as in worshiping of this subject matter. Then was worshiping of angels and spiritual visions and stuff like that. But don't let anybody come in and say, you're complete. Well, you are complete. Salvation is a complete. You became righteous and true holiness according to Ephesians. But you got to understand something. This carpus, this fruit, is in a place of development. Dave used to say love, the room of love, was as you were growing in love. Well, I got perfect love according to John. I know, but if you'll read all of John, that perfect love must be perfected, which means it must come to a place where the fruit inside of you, well, it's growing in my mind. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You don't think this thing called revival is turned over to a place as fickle as your mind? I'm developing my mind through the Word of God. No, no, no. The revelation doesn't come to your mind. You have to read it with your mind. But anytime it ever becomes revelation, it has to come to your spirit. Then from your spirit, it develops your mind. You weren't called to be conformed. You were called to be transformed. I'm going to conform my mind. No, transform your whole being. And you got to grow. Love has to grow. You're not fully born again. You're not born again with the full development. You have the potential. You have the seed. You have the seed. My goodness. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Peace. This is the peace that passes all understanding. This is the peace. I got a fruit of peace. No, we're talking about revival peace. Peace like joy that doesn't matter what comes or what goes. You can stand up against all odds. You can stand up against all diversity. You can stand up against all questioning. What happens when the thing that you're believing for doesn't happen and it's a contradiction against what you've been confessing? Do you stop right there? Or do you say, wait a minute, there's something still not yet developed inside of me. Faith was one of those fruits, and faith is still not there. But I can develop that. I can feed that fruit by feeding it the Word of God and confessing it and praying in tongues. What happens when I'm praying in those hours in tongues? My fruit is being developed. My fruit is maturing. Oh, my God. Can you believe? Could you? Hopeless would it be to believe someone to say, it's just there in full development, you just haven't realized it. Oh, okay, when I get the revelation, I've got the revelation that it's there. I've got to bring it forth. Well, I've got full faith, it's a full maturity. Oh, okay, I'm canceling Jim and I'm calling you. And you've got gym services, because for the next week we're gonna see the blind see, the lame walk. Because full developed fruit of faith can move all mountains. What are you going to do, though, when something stands you down and it didn't work out and they died? Or you said, it's going to happen this way, I'm confessing this way, and it doesn't. Is there a place inside of you where peace has so developed where you say, against all contradiction, I know His Word is true? See, that's what true humility is. It's looking at to get to revival, you just got to get past about 15,000 contradictions. It doesn't work, it doesn't work, they died, it doesn't work, it doesn't work, it doesn't work, it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And you say, okay. Peace that passes understanding is not just something that's fully developed inside of you. And obviously, you know love isn't. Well, they're full of love. They've got a full development of love. It's just their soul is... No. You're not just changing when you read the Word in your soul. There's a change. But your soul's fickle. You could have read it this week and loved everybody. Next week, you'll cuss them out. Because growth doesn't take place in the soul. Growth takes place in the spirit, the pneumaticos man. That is the man where great things, Smith Wigglesworth says, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside, the inner man. You think a soul, a mind, as fickle as it is, as up and down as it is, contained with the emotions, he's going to deliver a revival over to?
No, these fruit are being developed in our inner man. Gentleness, I can't stay long on all these. Gentleness, goodness, faith, the fruit of faith. Every hour that I spend and you spend praying in tongues, not only is the Word of God developing my fruit of faith, but also praying in tongues, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Meekness, humility. What is humility? Gary's teaching some great things. I won't even try to touch that. But one of the things he's talking about is humble yourself. And that definition of humbling yourself, the Lord gave him, took it to another place and said, humbling yourself is coming to a place where you believe my word against everything else. Final say-so. It's it. Final say-so. That is one of the truest and most perfect definitions of meekness and humility that I've heard. Temperance. None of these fruit, temperance, fasting will develop. Fasting kills the flesh. Yes, it does. But all real growth happens in the spirit man. And then the spirit man transfers a parenthood or an oversight. It's the oversight committee to your mind and emotions. Again, I can't get this. I hope you don't think that revival's being delivered to the outward man, or that you're developing. I'm developing my reasoning, my understanding as I read the Word of God, and I'm being transformed. No, the transformation is taking place in your spirit. Then your spirit is teaching your mind. Your mind's not where raising the dead comes from. Raising the dead comes from a developed fruit of the Spirit called faith. The Holy Spirit's able to couple together with and come in there and raise the dead. These must be developed. None of these fruits come fully grown or fully mature at new birth. Don't let anyone, as I said, ever spoil you. Your development or growth is taking place in the Spirit. And I like this. You're puny. I'm not debasing you. I'm talking about all of us. Your puny mind does not raise the dead. It doesn't raise the dead. The transformation of the natural mind is only a fruit of the development of the Spirit. We are not called to be conformed, but we are called to be transformed. That's some of the things I'd heard Alan say last year, and some of the things that he's continuing to say, I'm sure. Notice, as I said in that we just read, that righteousness and true holiness in the inner or new man are not in that list, because they are not fruit, and they are created within the new man fully mature. Ephesians 4:25, that's the reference I gave. And that you don't turn there, but that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And maturity is this: living a life. Just because you were created full grown, as in knowing right from wrong, then a mature Christian living is living the rest of your life following the holiness that's on the inside of you, the true holiness. Somebody said righteousness was the gift of God. To us, holiness was the gift we gave back to God by our Christian living, by our obedience. I think that's a pretty good way to say it. Galatians 5:24, and they which are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. There is a strong, as I said this, a strong link between crucifying the flesh and developing of the Spirit, the fruit of the believer. Revival, or the harvest, will take place, and I explained, in two different realms or two different aspects. It'll be, wow, it feels easier in the sense of the word presence. You all can testify to this. When there's a presence in our worship, our faith goes up. You come in here and if we don't fight for it, well, I'm just a blatant word man. But listen, he's just recently said to us, and the application is great. He said, I never meant for your stand to be only on, it's a valid stand, only on the blatancy of my word.
I want presence to accompany you. Presence will accentuate and bring your, by His grace, faith to another. In other words, it's the seasoning, it's the salt, it's the bringing forth. When there's a presence in our worship, we're like, yes, we can believe for miracles. Yes, we can do this. Yes, we can receive this. It gets us jacked up. We understand what we're doing because His presence is with us. Well, I wish I could do the nasolated creature. Pastor Dave used to, I could hold my nose. Oh, Pastor, yes, I believe that the fruit are fully developed at the new birth. They just have to be acknowledged. I mean, you just have to understand that they are, and then it just appears and it's fully developed. Second Peter, go with me there. He names these fruit, or some of them. Same word. Well, I'll study the Greek. No, well, go study the Greek. It's carpus. Same word, 68 times. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, what has already been given to us. What He is about to say here is not something that we're asking for. It's already there, but we develop it in the same way. It's a lot like what He was saying in Galatians 5:22. But by these we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. Now, it's not my assignment to break all these things down again, but you'll see that there are some of those that we just read listed here as in fruit. He said here, again, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory, and whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. And He says this, that we may escape by the divine nature. Okay, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. All these things, we just read temperance. We just read faith. And to temperance, patience. We saw that in there. He's just renaming those things that are innate inside of us, that has been given to us. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to, we saw all this just a moment ago in Galatians 5:22, or the biggest part of it. And brotherly kindness, love. There again, that's the same word, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or un. Here it is again, kapos, that you won't be. It's actually with a preface or a beginning a, carpus, which means not having fruit, but the same word. So He's speaking and He's getting across to us that we will have fruit if we partake of the divine nature, and it's already there. But what is He talking about when He says add? In other words, you can't add something that's, He's not talking about adding something that's not there. He's telling us the same thing that Galatians tells us, that these are already inside of us, and that we, by the divine nature and taking part in the word, the precious promises of God, that we're able to add or continue to develop these things. We're adding to, not as in, well, getting down to, let's see if I remember, 2 Corinthians 4:7, going on down at the end of that chapter, he says, and though the outward man perishes day by day, the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, when he's talking about renewed, the word renewed in the Greek is the word renovated. It's not talking about that every day you start like, like Dory. Hi, I'm Dory. I don't know where I was yesterday, but I'm on a loop. Groundhog Day. What's this? I don't know. Don't watch that show. There's a few parts you don't need. I don't know where. No, it's not like, you know, his mercies are fresh and new every day and we start over. No, the word renovation means he's in a continual building process. It's a continual, your spiritual growth is based on the fruit inside of you, the carpos going to a place that it's never been before. See, I'm excited because I know there's an atmosphere coming, but I'm excited about getting to spend time in the morning with him because I'm going to grow. How are you going to grow? Well, I'm going to read the word, and I'm going to read some things, but I'm not growing my intellect. It can't house the glory of God. My spirit can house it. It can house a revival. Dave used to say, you are a universe to God. You can house a revival inside of you. That's why a man can step out, and men have. Dave was the first man I ever saw, and I didn't go there saying, I'm going to see something so I can testify about. I saw a man that I didn't even know step out in a service, and all of a sudden the service went from here. It was good. The worship was good. And all of a sudden the service went, whew, and there was like, then there was a lot of people. There was probably 400 or 500 people in the building. One man. They didn't say, here comes Dave Roberson, or build our expectation. Here comes, expect an atmosphere to come. I didn't even know. I was like, I'm standing there worshiping God. First service, March conference, 1997. Thank you, Miss Barbara. We got there, me and Candy were worshiping. I'm standing there. I'm about two or three rows back, and all of a sudden it was like, my God. My Jesus in heaven. What in the world? Elvis just stepped in the building. No, it wasn't Elvis. It was the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was following one man. And all of a sudden, this man come across in front of me, and I was like, whoa, my God. That man carried 500 people could feel. I think they could. I mean, I've heard other people say, I was there when he come into those long hours of worship, and I was like, my God, the service just went to another level. He come in, and an atmosphere followed him. A train followed him. He was there, the Holy Ghost was there, but that wasn't there until he stepped in. But he had developed the fruit of his spirit in a place that housed the anointing, that the anointing followed him. It wasn't a show off. It was just, it is what it is. It just, the Holy Ghost, that which came was not there before. It just went to another level. So you and I get this understanding is that tomorrow or the next day or tonight or whenever you will, you have the ability. Not a Pastor Bronk, not a Homer, not a Jim Martin, not a Gary Carpenter, not Alan Taylor, not anybody that we kind of relate to, not a Mario Morello, not anybody. You don't have to be one of those. You can develop a place where the anointing resides inside of you. Well, how does it come? Where does it come? It comes in that place when we're growing the seed, as in Mark chapter 4, and that seed is growing and it's developing. What's it developing? Well, it's developing that it's in good ground, which is the new nature. It's the born-again spirit, and that seed or that word is developing. Well, what's it developing? It's developing love. It's developing peace. It's developing patience. It's developing agape, and not the agape that says, oh, you hit me and I won't hurt you back. That's personal. I'm talking about a love that you step into the room and like everybody goes, whoa, dude, what just came in here? Y'all feel that? Y'all feel that? I don't know who did that? Somebody did that. That's the kind of love that can come out of you. It can emanate from you. It'll follow you around. It's greater than just a moment in time. For he says this, that we may be, that we shall be, not be barren. I'll read the verse. And if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you should neither be barren or uncarpos without fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten by what that he was purged from his old sins, whether
He said, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if you do these things, if you do these things, if you believe these, yes, believe, but do, act on them." Well, I'll tell you, it's obedience. I know. You know, what's obedience? Well, doing what he says, following the word of God. Well, for me, it's probably a lot of things for you out in the world. I'm pretty much stuck at home. I like the life I live. I'm almost a hermit, unless Candy and I go out on Thursdays and have a date day. So there's not a lot of obedience out there. If he tells me to go talk to somebody, I will. Go to the hospital, I will. But my obedience is to go into the place of prayer. My obedience is being developed in that place that I'm partaking of this on a daily basis, and so are you in whatever time you're spending. Give the diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in them. I hope that's a verse for all of you, that you can survive me and say, you know what, God bless him. I know he reminds us of these things, but Peter said that I know that you know these things, but sometimes we don't know them. I think we're learning some things about fruit this morning for some of you, but it's important that we're always being reminded. Yea, he said, I think it necessary, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up and put you in remembrance. I'll put you in remembrance of this, that our original verse was James 5:7. Be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And we know that word is carpus, which means just fruit. But there it means souls. It means what we're after. It means our harvest. Everybody say, we're together and believing for a great harvest. We're going to get ours because we're going to be obedient. Follow the word and give a lot of salvation invitations. Our personal fruit, listen, our personal fruit, the Galatians 5:22, must be developed to receive the fruit of the earth. A scripture where we see the overlay or both of these understandings, where a scripture where the fruit, our fruit and the fruit of the earth comes into an understanding, is in John chapter 15. So if you would please turn to John chapter 15. What we're going to see here is an overlay of the two fruit understandings that we have just talked about. We talked about the internal fruit and the external fruit of the earth, which we are believing for. We just said that for us to receive the external fruit, which is the fruit of the earth, we've got to develop our internal fruit. We've got to spend that time. Now, again, I'll remind you, K-A-R-P-O-S, carpus. It's not a long O. It sounds like to me in the develop, as I looked at it, carpus, I think, is the best way to say it. It doesn't matter. John chapter 15, look at it, verse 1. Jesus said this, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. In other words, I think the Amplified says the farmer. I like vine dresser. I like, because he's talking about a vine. I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not carpus, not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Again, here we see the purging process. We see that it's necessary for this development. You're developing by praying in the Spirit, reading the Word of God, but also there's a development as you purge away things in your life. Well, what is he talking about here at the beginning of this? Because what I want you to see is this. And please don't write me any emails tomorrow. I mean, it's okay. There's no argument in this. I really don't care one way or the other. We're going to look at fruit here. But what we're going to see is a transition of the fruit of development of Christ in us, which is the fruit of
us developing the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, all those things that are growing up in Christ. But then like a highway that merges from one place to another, a perfect merger takes place where Jesus begins to not only talk about the fruit that is supposed to be developed in us, but the fruit that we're supposed to harvest. And we're going to see this all in the one in the same reading. It's amazing. Well, I think it's the fruit of the... I don't care. It doesn't matter. But we see that what happens here is there's a transition. What I really want to get across to you and suggest to you, and it's not, it's more than a suggestion, is that Jesus starts talking about Christian Christ in us development and how important that is, and how that that fruit will transition over to the fruit of the earth, how that we're to harvest the earth. The one brings forth the second. But Jesus is talking, and he's talking so wonderfully and smoothly. It's just, you're like, I know he must be talking about purging the excess of the flesh so the inner part of me in Christ will develop in the first couple of verses. And then before he gets very, you know, he gets down in there, and then he's talking about fruit. He's still talking about carpus, but he's now really talking about not the fruit of development inside of us, but he's talking about the fruit of the earth, the James 5:7. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? So we see that. It's like when I was a kid, I've told you this before, my dad had a hydroponic farm. We had, that's where I met Miss Candy. That's where I met, or no, I didn't meet her there. That's where I stole my first kiss, right there, in that hydroponic farm. And something developed out of this. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. But dad would put us out there working. We had all these rows of tomatoes, and the tomatoes would get to be a plant, but in the, you know, they would have all these branches coming off of them, but in between the branches and the stem was suckers, and if you didn't pop off the suckers, the tomatoes would grow, but you'd have small tomatoes versus the big fat beefsteak tomatoes that he was growing. So he was beefsteak, Walderns, and all kinds of different, but if you'd have big tomatoes or small tomatoes based on whether or not you cut the suckers off. So he'd put us out there for days, you know, us teenagers, and we'd be, you know, it was just plant after plant. We'd just be scooting on our bottom and just popping off those suckers because they'd grow, and you'd have a bunch of suckers you popped off because there'd be a little stem that would be growing in between the real big branches, and they would take away the nourishment. So if you didn't do that, you'd only have... Well, Jesus talks about from the very beginning the development of what he wants to see fruit in our life, but it's all for a reason. It's all to merge two highways together. A few years ago, I was coming back from, I believe, a vacation somewhere in the Carolinas, and I'm so familiar with I-75. It's a straight shot from, you know, the Tennessee and all those places. But I was just talking to Candy or doing whatever, and we got down, you know, when you're going through Atlanta, and maybe prior to that, you want a GPS, and I'm kind of lit. That's fine. Then you get so it's straight shot, and you're thinking, nah, you know, I'll just turn this off. We'll talk or whatever, listen to the radio or listen to, you know, gospel music or Christian music. So I turned off, and so I'm just talking, and I get down to about Macon. Well, Macon, you know, you don't even see the merger. You don't even see the merger. You don't even see it coming. So I'm not even I realize when I get to Savannah over on the coast that I'm not going south to Fort Myers. And I'm like, oh, God, Candy, look, you know, we're talking, having a good time at Savannah 5 miles. Wait a minute. When did they move Savannah in this straight south position? So it was a perfect merger. Jesus is talking here. Well, I'd like to call you, Pastor, and talk about when you think the fruit, it's fruit of the Spirit or fruit of the, it doesn't matter. I don't care. All I'm telling you is there is a merger that takes place. Hallelujah. Homer's all in for it. There's a perfect. He said, that's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. That's good. Hallelujah. Now I know I'm on target. Hallelujah. So look at this. John chapter 15. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges or purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The fruit of Christian character, or the fruit of the Christ in me, the development of the fruit of the Spirit. And we just talked about that over the last 45 minutes. In the Amplified, it says, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, same word, that stops bearing, he cuts away, he trims off and takes away. That's the cutting away the suckers, all that stuff. And he that cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, he continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. So as I said, my assignment is to not argue the perfect placement of where fruit of the Spirit versus fruit. It's just to introduce to you and to say this, that in Jesus' words, to recognize that there is a transition, a continual merger here. Let's continue to read further. Verse 3, "And now you're clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in you, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withereth, and men gather them and cast them into the fire." We kind of understand that, and they're burned. "If any abide in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." God, I want that. I want that. But you can you see how, as we read here, it is so intricately connected with harvest, getting people born again, getting people saved. This is why the miracles, the juices of God are like cranked up, like, yeah, yes, yes, he'll heal anybody at any time because the stripes have already been paid. But I'm telling you, his heart's in evangelism, his heart's in the harvest, and his heart's in the dinner bell, and his heart's in bringing. So it's there. It's like God's almost, excuse me, Lord, he's jonesing to say, okay, what my son did, I'm on the, you know, I'm right here, I'm looking. Please, somebody go in, develop these personal fruits so the fruits of the earth can be harvested. Hallelujah. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Carpus. "So shall ye be my disciples." So here we go. Here's that discipleship. You kind of begin to see a transition here. What are disciples supposed to do? They're supposed to go get fruit. They're supposed to have fruit and go get fruit. Renee, how you doing, buddy? He's still here. I'm still here. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, and even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you, which is go get the harvest." Go get the harvest. "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go." That you should go. Now here's the trend, boy. Here's the trends. Here's where it turns for sure. If there's any debate on any of the rest of it, here's where it turns. That you should go and bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. That you should go and bring forth fruit. I know what they're Jimmy and Susie and Bobby and Freddie and Mary. They're the straights and the non-straights. They're the ones that know who they are and don't know who they are. They're the ones that are messed up on their sexuality and the ones that are know who they are. They're the ones that are messed up on their marriages and not messed up. They're the ones that are the good, the bad, the ugly. They're all in between. Go get them. Go get them, because I want my house full. And if you'll go do that, I'll show up and show off. I'll show up and show off so that they'll know that Christ is in the house. If you'll go get them, I'll show up and show off. Go get the fruit. Glory to God. Oh, I'm gonna do a Jericho march, but I'm going to run. Hallelujah. It's all connected to the harvest, that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that you're, same word, But we know in context now we're going and bringing forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask in my, here again, he comes back, whatsoever you ask, here's the tell, here's the credits at the end of the movie, if you'll do this, I'll do this, if you'll do this, I'll do this. It's faith, yes, it is, it's faith development, but it's also obedience to do what I'd like to have. We're not going to evangelize too much, but we sure would like to have a lot of miracles. God said, you got the cart before the horse, son. The miracles will follow the evangelism, and the miracles will follow the outpouring of people coming into my house. I like this. I wrote this down as the Lord gave it. The internal fruit must come to a place where it produces external fruit. It must come. Thank you. I am not, and I like this. I like this. I'm not only attached to the vine, but the vine is living in me. Glory to God. Carrie's been doing some awesome stuff. He trekked last year, starting in the middle of June going forward. And he got some stuff in this past several months. If you haven't listened to any of those, go back and listen starting in June and going forward. But he traced Christ the branch, as in Old Testament, coming forward, but then as the transition took place and he's in this place that he's reading now, he's saying, no longer am I the branch, you're the branch, I'm the vine, I'm going there, but I'm going to feed you like I've been fed, and all the works that I did you're going to do also and greater, because I go to the Father. Glory be to God. You're going to produce fruit, but guess what, in this economy, in this, it's really neat, it's interchangeable. Not only am I attached to the vine's living inside of me. Glory be to God. And I'll add to that as we're closing, the Father, which is the husbandman, is not only attending over this harvest, he's not only attending over me to produce the fruit of the earth, he also is living inside of me to produce the fruit of my spirit. So that not only can he receive the harvest of the earth, but that's how the harvest of the earth, I should have read it exactly as I had it, the harvest, or the Father, which is the husbandman, is not only attending over me to produce the fruit of the earth, he is living inside of me to produce the fruit of the Spirit that can only produce the fruit of the earth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's all stand. We'll be back here tonight. Miss Gay will be leading us. Listen, there's no condemnation. I understand what today is. If it was the Dolphins, I'd probably, it'd be like, the Lord said our families should just rest. God's got, and Jim Martin's coming next week, so we need to rest. And I was like, since I really don't, I'd just be watching and really don't care in that sense of the word. It's my spirituality goes to another place. I don't know why. So if we ever do get to that place, you'll see how dead I am. I just hope God gives me permission. I love y'all. Let's all pray. Father, right now is the most important part of this service. I promised before I started that there would be an altar call. And I'll keep that promise, because that's where your anointing is at. If you're here this morning, or you're watching someplace, or you're watching 3 days from now or 2 weeks from now, listen to me. It's all about Christ and his love for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not about this church. It's not about this preacher. It's not about anything that we're doing except the gospel message. It's Christ that's offering eternal life to you right now. It doesn't matter what you've been. It doesn't matter who you are presently. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday, last night, or 10 years ago. It doesn't matter if you have a record or don't have a record, a past, not so bad a past. It doesn't matter. Christ, He desires to come into your life. And at the moment of salvation, this is amazing to me. Christ steps in to a spirit that's not yet even born again, which is the Holy Ghost, will step into your spirit even before you know him and change you. We don't have to go through a migration process, a transmigration process like the Hindus believe. We believe that this eternal God steps into what is a dark, can be ugly. It is all of us were ugly of ourselves, an ugly spirit that is absolutely messed up and crippled. And in a moment's time, he changes it. A twinkling of an eye, he changes it from death to life. Now, I'm going to pray for every single one of you. The ease of this is all you have to do is believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead on your behalf, not just in a general sense of the word. He raised him from the dead so you could have eternal life. And that eternal life starts with you confessing Christ as your Lord. That confession means forgiveness of sins. That means you asking him to forgive you. And your predetermination that by his strength and grace, you're going to follow him, which means you're going to turn from sin and follow a life that the Bible describes and teaches us how to live. Now, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for everyone in this room. And then we're all going to pray together. And I'm going to ask you to just simply consider that this is the day of salvation. Please, please, please do not put it off. You do not know what your future holds you for you. And besides for that, God loves you so much. He wants you to have so much peace and rest and settlement in your life. This is your moment in time. So Heavenly Father, it doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what they're messed up in. Today, you've provided salvation through Jesus Christ your Lord. And I'm asking you to speak to their hearts, that if there is one in here, if there's one out there that's hearing this, that they will, Lord, respond by saying, yes, 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 I want a new life. I don't want the life that I've lived before. I want the assurance of all my sins are forgiven and I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Now, here's how you do it. Follow me, every one of us. Say this, dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for every evil thing I've ever done. I confess it to you right now. Cleanse me. Forgive me. And make me a new person. I receive Jesus into my heart, into my life. I will follow you, Jesus. My commitment is to follow you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you've made that commitment, if you're in here or you're watching, please, and if you're new to this, please go to our website. There's 10 lessons on the face page. It's called Discipleship Training. It will give you a kind of a shot out of the gate, 30 to 45 minute lessons to tell you what just happened to you, how to progress, how to read your Bible, where to read your Bible at, how to get started, and then you're going to be further along. You can listen to them. You can also read a PDF of almost all the lessons up to date. There's a few that are being developed, but we're going to get those developed as well. But praise God. Thank you for being here this morning. We love you all, and we'll see many of you tonight. And again, there is no condemnation. I understand the day. So God bless you. Be blessed. Amen.